very happy to welcome to our program right now Annie Bird. She's director of the Guatemala Human Rights Commission and co-author of a recent, very important article titled The Deadly Results of a DEA-backed Raid in Honduras, published in the New York Times on July 2nd. Annie, thank you so much for making time to come on our show tonight.
No, thank you for having me.
So, just initially, tell us where you are. You're right now speaking to us from Honduras, which is the place where we'll be discussing the topic of your article. But also tell us a bit about your organization, the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, so the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission is an organization that's been around since 1983, and the focus of its work has been Guatemala. During the height of the Civil War, when there was a genocide happening, and then they continued to work on generating information about the human rights violations that were going on as part of the war, and then all through the peace process, continued to monitor that, the human rights situation, and then, of course, through to today. At the time that I lived in Guatemala for 15 years, the Guatemala Human Rights Commission has been accompanying some of the most important human rights cases. In Honduras in 2009, there was a military-backed coup at a time when Central America was hoping that coups were over and that a lot of organizations and communities were working really hard to build democracy from the ground up. So all the neighboring countries in Central America were very scared by the fact that as late as 2009, the specter of military rule was rearing its head again. And so many of the human rights organizations in Guatemala, which had become very strengthened, since the peace process with a lot of international attention and support to Guatemala, given the extreme levels of violence and genocide that the communities, the indigenous communities in Guatemala had suffered. So the human rights organizations in Guatemala also became very concerned about this military coup and de facto regime that took over after that, has become very interested in supporting Honduran human rights organizations as they work for protection of human rights as violations, again, are escalating throughout the region, particularly in Guatemala, Honduras, also in El Salvador. There's been high levels of violence.
Well, thank you for that, Annie. I wanted to have you summarize for us what you did in this New York Times piece co-written with Alex Main about this small town, Ahuas. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's there on the Mosquito Coast of Honduras near the Caribbean. There was an attack there by Honduran military with personnel from the U.S. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, which resulted in four people being killed and others injured. It was a counter-narcotics action, as you wrote about, that directly involved agents of the DEA. But summarize for us what happened that day, which, again, is the topic of your recent piece and opens the door to a lot about the scrutiny you believe needs to be focused on U.S. security assistance to Central America.
That's right. The incident that happened in 2012, the killing of four innocent bystanders and permanent disabled, three others were currently disabled, was a very tragic event. And, you know, because it became pretty clear early on that it was the DEA that was directly involved, or the DEA was, you know, claiming that it had been a Hunter and led organization, operation, and that none of the people involved in the shooting had actually been DEA agents. So I traveled out to watch with Alex Maine from the Center for Economic and Political Research. And we interviewed witnesses and survivors of the attack, and it became very clear, you know, there was a family who was moving from one town to another, had all of their belongings, had the school records for a 14-year-old boy who was killed because he was transferring from one school to the other. You know, the families of two of the women said they were pregnant. You know, one of them, the doctor who had been seeing her, affirmed this. And you know, there's all kinds of evidence showing that this was a water taxi and that it was traveling on the river because that's how people in that area travel, and was mistaken by this DEA-led operation, and the DEA then ordered the Honduran gunners on the helicopter to open fire on the airplane, on the boat, on the river. When we were there, we, of course, didn't know what had happened exactly on the helicopter, but it became very...
And Annie, I'm sorry, maybe just recap briefly the situation you were describing before we got cut off about how this attack had taken place on this civilian water taxi that was mistaken for some kind of target of a drug interdiction operation by the Honduran military with U.S. advisors from the DEA.
Right. And so it became very clear that the DEA was actually in charge of the operation, that the Honduran agents were under the orders, under the command of the DEA, and that the DEA in the United States was not being honest about that. But then what became even more concerning is that the DEA and State Department began a really promoting a story in Congress when Congress began asking questions that individuals on the water taxi had opened fire on a boat that a DEA and Honduran police officers were on. And there was no evidence to substantiate that. And in fact, what happened is that there was a witness who essentially lied, which admitted she lied, gave contradictory evidence, you know, declarations in three different interviews, and underwent a lie detector test, which was actually manipulated, and congressmen were led to believe that she had made, had a lie detector test administered to her to substantiate that she had seen people on the boat open fire on the DEA, when in fact, they were asking her about questions about a completely different incident, you know, many, many hours before the shooting. And so it was a very intentional sort of misleading of Congress and the public. It was very concerning because the Honduran agents under DEA command did things like not only, you know, like, for example, planted a gun into evidence that and admitted to people in the embassy that they had planted a gun into evidence, not in the shooting of the water taxi, but in another deadly shooting in which a pilot was actually killed, but he was unarmed, and they felt that they needed to plant a gun into evidence. And so this sort of, you know, multiple sort of incidents in which it was very clear that the DEA and State Department had knowledge of fabricated evidence and even promoted a witness who was clearly, you know, unreliable in order to substantiate their story, and then continued to sort of feed into a public discourse that indigenous communities in Ellicottville and on the Caribbean coast, at least in indigenous communities, are involved in drug trafficking, which simply is not, you know, they're indigenous communities are on the periphery of drug trafficking in that area and are very much the victims of the U.S.-backed drug war, not only because of incidents like this that we documented, but because of the extreme corruption in the police and in the judicial system, which is really the direct result of the U.S.-backed drug war, because there's this huge economic interest in perpetuating an illegal activity. It creates motive and means for violent, you know, illegal drug gangs to buy off governments. And then what they do is they scapegoat civilian populations who aren't involved and criminalize them. And unfortunately, what we saw in this case is that the DEA was playing into that and scapegoating innocent indigenous communities. We know that the false witness that finally admitted she lied, you know, it was shown that the lie detector test had been manipulated. We know from local information that she was involved in, well, what we've been informed by local population is that this woman is actually not only involved with drug traffickers, but also with sex traffickers and recruiting of young girls from indigenous communities. So it was, you know, this whole incident provided a very disturbing sort of window into how the DEA is interacting with Honduran, not only drug networks, but also the corruption in the police forces that they're working with.
Annie Bird is our guest, director of the Guatemalan Human Rights Commission, and she's currently in Honduras, where we're speaking to her from. And we're talking about the article that she co-authored with Alex Main of the Center for Economic and Political Research. The article is titled "The Deadly Results of a DEA-Backed Raid in Honduras," published in the New York Times on July 2nd. Annie, tell us about the issue of accountability here. Your article emphasizes the fact that no one at DEA, at the Drug Enforcement, no one at the Drug Enforcement Administration has been held accountable for the lies and misdirection that they gave State Department and Justice Department investigators.
Exactly, and what the State Department and DEA, we're hearing that their response is that, well, this Inspector General report that came out with all these very damning findings is no longer relevant because the unit that undertook that operation was dissolved. Well, the fact of the matter is, the way that we see it, the most disturbing aspect of what happened was how the DEA and the State Department dealt with it afterwards by, you know, going along with lies, perpetuating, you know, misinformation, promoting false testimony, and all of that, you know, was with, you know, the infrastructure, the DEA office in the country, you know, the INL, the International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Units within the State Department, and they actively participated in undermining the ambassador's chief of mission authority over their operations and in hiding what had actually happened in the operation and how they had later reacted to it. So these are very damning findings that have to do with the institutional infrastructure of the DEA and the INL in the embassy in Honduras. And the team that had actually carried out the operation that night was dissolved and suspended, you know, and those were the people who, you know, were themselves in a danger, what they felt to be a dangerous situation, and probably in the moment that they opened fire, you know, may have believed that their lives were in danger. And that's tragic, and innocent people died. You know, those DEA officers probably should never have been there in the first place. because it's not the way to combat illegal drug trafficking operations. But, you know, what was most disturbing was the cover-ups, the lies, the misinformation that all happened later.
Right. Well, Annie, we only have time for just one or two more questions here on this article, and I wanted to make sure to get this in. Your article and your investigation into this situation in Honduras, in your mind, shines a light on a pattern of behavior by the United States in terms of its involvement in Central American governments and the drug trade there that really provides a lot of provides much caution in your mind that the Congress really needs to investigate this and scrutinize very heavily what the USDEA and other security assistance programs are doing to these countries where innocent civilians are being killed, as well as corruption is rife in local police departments and the military.
Exactly. There's this Central America Regional Security Initiative, CARSI, which was created in 2009 and has received billions of dollars, which are completely opaque. Their use, Congress does not know, you know, what those funds are being used for, and we're talking about billions of dollars. And our fear is that that funding, of what we see evidence to suggest, is that some of that funding could actually be promoting networks of corruption and feeding into the power structures of the actual criminal organizations that we're supposed to be combating. I mean, just as a tiny little microcosm example, but I have serious reasons to believe and indications that the false witness, who is herself connected to organized crime, was likely paid by either the Honduran government or potentially fund assistance funds to the Honduran government, which may be intended for witness protection or to promote access to information. And what I've seen in other areas of the country is payments being offered to people to give false testimony, essentially to protect drug traffickers or death squads who are stealing land from cooperative farmers. So there's real concern that, you know, I've heard those testimonies. It's very difficult to verify them, but you know, there are multiple testimonies with similar amounts of money involved, and it's very concerning that there's just no transparency in how security assistance is being administered.
Well, Annie, has there been any reaction to your article and investigation here that would lead you to believe Congress may take seriously these warnings and actually investigate what the DEA and other security assistance programs are doing, the unintended consequences, et cetera, from these operations that the DEA is involved in?
Unfortunately, we have not had a stronger reaction as we hoped. This is a very strong report, very damning findings, and it was pretty clear that at best State Department and the DEA were attempting to hide information from other sections of the State Department and from Congress, and at worst there were times when they were intentionally being misled. And unfortunately, I think there hasn't been a strong reaction as we'd hope, but there are Congress members who are interested in trying to put some proposals, you know, such as greater transparency with the use of security assistance and monitoring of DEA operations in the region. But, you know, it's long road ahead with these kinds of reforms. Right now, it's pretty much a black box what happens in Central America with security assistance. There are very sophisticated organized crime networks who are skilled at using corruption and deception and connections to politicians to ensure their continued operations. And it's not clear, you know, how much U.S. security assistance may actually be playing into their interests and how much it may be combating. So it's very concerning.
All right, Annie, we'll have to leave it there. It's 9 o'clock and we've run out of time. But thank you for spending time with us tonight from Honduras, and thanks for this important article and investigation that you co-wrote with Alex Main of the Center for Economic and Political Research. People can find it in the New York Times. Again, it's titled The Deadly Results of a DEA-Backed Raid in Honduras. And would you like to give your website as well as the CEPR website for additional information, Annie?
Yeah, so right now, the website is www.grc-usa.org. And right now, we are not yet posting the information about Honduras. We're more focused on Guatemala, but we're going to begin accumulating information about Honduras also.
Well, thank you again for sticking with this line that broke up on us once. We got lucky, though. It was only once. Thank you so much for being here, Annie, and for your important work down there in Honduras and Guatemala, okay. Of course. Take care.
Oh, thank you so much for the invitation to share the work.
Thanks, Annie. Good night. Bye-bye.
Okay.
That's Annie Byrd, director of the Guatemala Human Rights Commission, speaking to us from Honduras about her article. Again, the deadly results of a DEA-backed raid in Honduras.